Okay, welcome back. Hour number two. Professor James Fetzer joins us. Jim is here a couple times a month to share some of his busy life as a journalist and a conspiracy investigator, researcher. And we're going to talk a bit about Sandy Hook tonight. He and Wolfgang Halbig, of course, are leading the charge. Wolf is working on this every day. Every day. Most days of the week I get something from him. He is just after this. Jim's work is extraordinary. Look on the left-hand side of the homepage for Jim Fetzer's columnist box, and you can find a ton of fascinating information, factual information, and read it. Learn. Welcome back, Jim.
Oh, Jeff, I'm delighted to be here. In fact, I have just posted a 1 hour entitled on YouTube, Sandy Hook, starring Wayne Carver as the medical examiner.
Okay, I just got that from you.
I know, I just said it.
Yeah, what is this? Is it a dramatization?
Well, listen, this is showing how much we know about it. You know, Wayne Carver was the key guy when he gave this interview at Sandy Hook on the 14th. He was the glue that held it all together, because since he was the medical examiner for the state of Connecticut, he was viewed as a person of considerable authority. I don't believe anyone in their wildest imagination at the time thought that Wayne Carver could be involved in an elaborate hoax. But Jeff, as you'll see here, I have a series of photographs that came to me from an Australian researcher by the name of Alan Powell, who's just done brilliant work. And it shows early in the morning that the SWAT vehicle is already there. Over the front of the SWAT vehicle, you can see the row of four windows that had drawings of candles from classroom 10, none of which is damaged. If you go to the flagpole and come straight down, there's a man with his arms folded that looks awfully familiar. Crime scene tape is already up, but officially nothing has happened. And the man there is Wayne Carver. And I have in this particular...
Now, this is before anything supposedly happened.
Yes.
What the hell?
Jeff, not only that, but we have photographs of them drilling the holes in the window of classroom 10 to fake and simulate bullet holes.
Come on, come on.
I'm serious.
How did anybody get these pictures?
Well, I think that there was, we have sources to protect. My suspicion is this was a leak, Jeff, but we got it, and there's no mistaking them. That's why I'm telling you, go to Sandy Hook, starring Wayne Carver as the medical examiner. I did several close-ups because I had a guest on the other night on my show who's excellent. And he wanted to know, because there's somebody in Connecticut he thinks can be exonerated from some fabricated charge if he can show the whole thing was a hoax. So I sent him a series of photographs where you can easily discern that this is Wayne Carver. Nothing has happened yet, Jeff. And as I say, we even have the photograph of the perps drilling these holes in the window. It was always peculiar because we have other photographs where there are pink rods inserted into the alleged bullet holes, Jeff. And they're perfectly horizontal. In other words, these were exactly done on a 90-degree cut. That's absurd. We even have photographs inside the classroom where the aluminum is peeled out into the classroom.
Unreal. Unreal. Okay. Sounds like a leak to me. Somebody wants the truth out.
Jeff, let me tell you, in the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, I published 50 photographs. Mm-hmm. That Alan had provided of them furnishing the Lanza home to serve as a prop.
Got it.
And some of them are from the Nancy Lanza bedroom where she was allegedly killed. Yeah. And you see there's something red on the bedspread or the sheet, but it looks more like raspberry jam, not blood. Uh-huh. And would you believe it's a four-poster bed, and under the left front leg, there's a moving pad.
There's a what?
A moving pad.
Like somebody just moved it in there.
They just moved it in. I'm telling you, they're furnishing the whole house.
Oh, my.
And then we have 50 more that I put in the book. Actually, we have more that are online on The Real Deal. Mm-hmm. But they include the moving vans coming up to the school. Stuff they're taking into the school.
Yeah.
It's got the nameplate for the classroom, and it's still got the moving van tag on it, Jeff.
Oh, my.
I mean, we have nailed these suckers so bad with their pants down, it's unbelievable.
This is amazing.
Yeah, I've got it right here. Yeah. I've got right here. This is a special one I did because once I fixed for him, those photographs that make it unmistakable it's Wayne Carver, I decided I was going to put him into the show. So I did it last night. And he noticed something I hadn't noticed, which is this. Wayne Carver used a cane. And you can see on the wall that Wayne Carver is leaning on that the cane is resting on the wall. And he found another aerial shot. I didn't come up with this. He found an aerial shot looking down where you can see the cane on the wall. And then he had two photographs from the press conference where you can see that Wayne Carver has the cane in his hand.
Unbelievable. And this thing is really falling apart.
Totally. It's blown apart. And there's been a huge effort to suppress it, Jeff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was just, it was just like piranha on Amazon.com with one star, one sentence reviews saying, oh, this is so terrible for the children. This is so awful for the parents.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
But, Jeff, we have all this proof the school was closed in 2008. There weren't even any students there. There was no one to evacuate. There was no one to be shot. The whole thing is a monstrous hoax.
Right. Well, the pictures that Wolf put up of the school taken allegedly right after the crime, show wood rot, floor rot, cracks. Just, you would not ever see conditions like that at a school.
Jeff, I got that in the book too.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, it's 425 pages.
Is there a definitive documentary yet with all this new data? These leaked photographs, and I'm going to call them leaked. I may be incorrect, but I don't know anything else to call them. These must be put in a documentary. I know there have been efforts to do it, but you've got enough now to produce an absolutely devastating documentary.
You're absolutely right, Jeff. And my God, there are 12 contributors to this book. I've got 6 PhDs who are either present or retired college professors, okay, for openers. Six of them.
Yeah,
one of these guys even has a JD. I hope you got the
man.
Book. I sent the book. I hope you got it.
When did you send it?
Oh, I sent it weeks ago. You were like the first person I sent it to.
Oh, I did get it. Yes, I have it, of course. Yeah.
Okay, wonderful.
Yep.
But I'm telling you, even on the back page, I like to use covers to make arguments.
Yeah.
So on the front page, you see in the lower right, there's a photograph aerial of the school. In the top left, there's this photograph I was describing to you of the early morning where the SWAT team is there and the windows are undamaged and Wayne Carver. In the bottom left, it's a photograph of them drilling the holes in the window frame.
Who's drilling the holes?
It's the perps, Connecticut State Police, FBI.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing was a FEMA drill, Jeff.
Wow.
I mean, I'm telling you, this is so blown out of the water, it's unreal. And it was brought to us by the Obama administration.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when Dan Malloy, the governor, held his press conference on the 14th, he said he and the lieutenant governor had been spoken to that something like this might happen. And it got me asking, spoken to by who? Something like this? What could he possibly mean? It would have to be either he was told there was going to be a possible shooting in a Connecticut school where a bunch of kids would be killed, in which case he ought to have issued an alarm to all the school systems to increase their security.
You bet.
Which he did not do. Or alternatively, Jeff, that they were going to take an abandoned school, conduct a drill, present it as a live event to promote gun control, which is exactly what happened. And would you believe, when I dug into it, I found on the 27th of November, just a few weeks before, Dan Malloy had a visit from none other than Attorney General Eric Holder to talk about a gun control plan of the administration.
Oh, Holder was in it too, of course.
Holder was in it too.
Yeah.
This was from the top down.
Yeah.
You got these fake parents. And the thing is, they've all received huge benefits, Jeff. Some of the donation sites, by the way, went up on the 13th. See, we have the FEMA manual, Jeff. I put the manual right in the book.
Got it.
We have
Great.
A manual for the rehearsal on the 13th and going live on the 14th. But many of the participants were eager beavers. They didn't realize the difference. And they went ahead and put up donation sites already on the 13th. Would you believe they initially even registered Adam Lanza as having died on the 13th in the Social Security Death Index, which makes it a bit difficult for him to have shot 20 children and 6 adults the following
day? Pretty tough.
And from these donations, get this, Jeff. Wow. These donations, they brought in more than $27 million. Well, you're talking about 26 families or alleged families of victims. They're getting more than $1 million apiece from donations from kind-hearted Americans who suffer their pain. But it's all a scam.
This is amazing. The video, I'll put that up tonight for all of you listening. Sandy Hook starring Wayne Carver. And I want you to look at this. It's basically qualifies as a documentary with Jim.
Sandy Hook starring Wayne Carver as the medical examiner. I had it there.
That's cute. That's cute. Now,
but Jeff, there's such it's so convincing right there. You just see what's going on. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, when you see that alleged father of one of the 6-year-old victims laughing it up, just joking, smiling, laughing. And then he moves up and he thinks he must be stupid. He thinks the cameras couldn't have been rolling before then. The guy's on an ego trip. He comes up and he goes into this sob kind of, he's acting like the grieving parent all of a sudden, like somebody threw a switch. It's one of the most phony acting jobs I have ever seen. I don't understand how this footage was acquired. I mean, this is amazing that guy could be that stupid.
Well, that was a huge press conference. I mean, you're talking about
Robbie Parker. Was huge. Robbie Parker,
who claims to be the father of Emily, who's supposed to have died, and he's coming out of the building in a jocular mood. This is the day after his daughter.
Oh, he's laughing it up, folks. If you haven't seen it, just laughing and smiling, and then all of a sudden, he thinks the cameras must have been off, and he thinks, oh, they're rolling now. Time to go into my act.
That's right. He sees a press and he stops and hyperventilates to get into character.
He actually did. It's right there. It's right there.
But he had the presence of mind to mention his daughter's donation site.
Ah, jeez. This is sickening. It's poor American people. Poor American people. Duped again. And the average American still buys it.
Get this too, Jeff. They had a debate over whether to refurbish the school or demolish it, but actually the school had been closed since 2008.
Right.
And the Newtown Beat published an article explaining how it would be difficult to refurbish because it was loaded with asbestos and other biohazards, which had to be something they knew already back in 2007.
Of course
when they decided to shut it down. The school wasn't even compliant with Americans for Disability Act requirements of either the federal or the state government, which had to have been implemented back around 2007, 2008. So they just decided, let's forgo it. Let's drop it. When Wolfgang and I went to Newtown to meet with a school board, Jeff, we were given 3 minutes apiece. And during my 3 minutes, I said, when were the parents notified that they were attending school in a toxic waste dump?
Great, great line. True. The pictures of that school are repugnant. You would never allow your child to go to that school. Wouldn't happen.
Oh, you're right. We got Wolfgang has gathered so many during his FOIA request. He even got Patricia LaLorda, who is the first select man of Newtown. Technically, she's the highest city official.
Yeah.
To admit, after denying that the city had placed the sign, everyone must check in, she admitted that it had been placed there by Homeland Security.
She finally did. Who did she admit that to? And is that
to Wolfgang and his attorneys? It was all under oath during his FOIA hearing.
Is that on video?
Yep.
Wow. All right, end of story. DHS, all the law enforcement, DOJ involved, the American public completely raped again, having its trust violated to the maximum.
And this is Obama, Jeff. Yeah. This is the President of the United States.
Yeah.
It's so disgusting. Some of the first things people noticed that were confusing was the sign, everyone must check, and boxes of bottled water and pizza cartons in the firehouse, porta potties. Present from scratch.
Oh, yeah.
Many were wearing name tags on lanyards. Parents bringing children to the scene. Jeff, can you imagine a parent bringing a child to the scene of a child shooting massacre? This was all going on the 13th, the day before the rehearsal. It says right in the manual on the 13th for the rehearsal, everyone must check in. Refreshments and restrooms will be provided.
When are some of these people going to start to talk?
The whole state's corrupt from top to bottom, I'm telling you, Jeff. Not only these fake parents, Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of them came in 2009 and were given free homes. I mean, it's bizarre, but we have an appendix about them getting free homes on Christmas Eve in 2009. It's very bizarre. But you have all the people who are faking being teachers. They were all involved. You have the state police. They were involved. You have the firehouse. They were involved.
Yeah.
There was, you know, no surge of ambulances, no rush of EMTs into the building. The bodies.
No, EMTs were even near the building.
They didn't bring in the medevac helicopter. Wolfgang's been very good on many of these points.
He's really deserves all the credit too. You haven't quit. He hasn't quit. You have the two of you really dismantled this entire con job. It's all about taking our guns away, folks. That's what this is about. Now,
there are more and more indications, Jeff, that that's the case. I do this false flag weekly news, and I had two stories today that were further confirmation. One sheriff was saying that Obama is actually out to confiscate guns, and another story that he's increasingly focusing on guns.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And you know what's going on in Europe, Jeff, is just the opposite. Everyone in Europe is going for guns because of this invasion by the immigrants.
Oh, I hope so.
They are. They're saying they wish they had a Second Amendment.
Yeah.
So what's Obama planning for us, Jeff?
Communist enslavement. That's what he's planning.
Well, it may well be because, you know, the founding fathers had this concept of citizen soldiers. I mean, it was because we had armed Americans, we were able to defeat the British at Concord and Lexington.
Right.
The highest military advisor to Emperor Hirohito advised against invading the United States because there'd be a sniper behind every bush.
Correct.
Suppose we were in a, you know, we lost our government. It was taken out in a nuclear exchange. We were in a Jericho type scenario. Where would we be without guns? Those who had guns could rape and pillage, murder, you know, at will. I mean, we have to have guns. The whole idea of taking away guns from Americans is insanity, Jeff. Absolute insanity.
Oh, I know. That's all we have. That's the thin line between us and snapping on the leg irons. That's it. So,
by the way, I the book, of course, is on Amazon.com, and there's been just this huge, ferocious exchange about it with all these, you know, one star. And it turns out there are a whole bunch of five star reviews. Everyone who read the book gave it five stars, Jeff. Those who gave it one star, not one of them has read the book.
They're all shills. Of course.
They're all shills that you got.
Of course. Yeah. Nobody died at Sandy Hook. All right. Remember the name. Nobody died at Sandy. Read the book. I'm not asking you to just listen now and make up your mind. Don't. Read the book. Read the facts. Read the data. And you will be sick.
And I've given two introductions online on my blog. I put the prologue. The Sandy Hook, is it reality or illusion? You can find it, jamesfetzer.blogspot.com. And then before this Sandy Hook starring Wayne Carver as the medical examiner, I have a video introduction to Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. So if you go online.
Yeah, I've got all those up. I've got all of them.
I think you do, Jeff. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I love it.
Now, they're all there. You can look in headlines, or you can look in Jim Fetzer's left side columnist box. They're all there as well. So.
Jeff, really, before, you know, we had so much evidence before Alan Powell produced all of these photographs, but they are devastating. I mean, devastating.
Where are the photographs online?
Well, you go to the real deal. Go to Media Broadcasting Center. The Real Deal archives online, and I think show number 80 was the very first one I did with Alan Powell.
Okay.
Stunning revelations or explosive revelations about Sandy Hook, and then he did at least two other shows about Sandy Hook.
Okay.
So we have, you know, that's
so the
where
photos.
You
the photos are laid in there. Okay.
Yeah, right. They're all there. There are more of them. I went through and edited to have just 50 for the house and 50 for the school, but I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
Are they on your site? Can I link to them? Do you have them online?
I can send you the link to the Real Deal archives, and then anyone could go down and find the shows with.
That's fine. Whatever. Either way,
yeah.
I would suggest that you also consider putting them up as a visual demonstration, just so you can go link at it and put captions. Say here. It's just like Wolf did with the pictures of the rotting school. That's very effective. Now, that's for folks who don't necessarily have time to listen to a two-hour radio program. So it's important that we have access to these things. I'm just suggesting, by way of a click and a look and a read, people who are in a rush, they've got 5-10 minutes, they can go do this. I want to see them, and I just have so little time. But if you do want to put them up online, please do. I think that's a perfect thing to do. Write an intro and write some captions, and I'll link to it, and you'll get a lot of hits.
Well, I'm going to send you right now the link to the Real Deal Archives.
Okay.
And then what I can do, Jeff, is create like an index to the key shows.
Sure.
But you know, yeah, I mean,
I would suggest also, again, put those pictures up like a separate news story on your site or whatever, so people can click and just look at the pictures. Entice them and make them want to go listen to the rest of the program and hear it. Now, you've got it all. I wonder who this... Do you know this Alan Powell very well? How he might have gotten...
No, but he's brilliant. I've done plenty of shows with him. He's a really smart guy.
It sounds like he's hacked into something and got these pictures.
Well,
I'm not saying he did, but something's up.
I'll tell you. It was like this. He sent me his slides, you know?
Yeah.
And I looked at these slides, like, for the house. And I couldn't make heads or tails of what I was looking at. And then when we went through the show and he explained everything, it was astounding how illuminating it was, how they'd take the same room and rearrange it different ways, how they kept track of every way they furnished the room. There are these evaluation forms you found in the rooms when they were furnishing it for the, It was all managed, all stayed managed.
I got it. Well,
I just sent you the link to the archives, but I mean, they're there, Jeff. They're there, in spades, and there's a lot of other good stuff there too.
You know, one thinks about these things, and one hopes that, well, it's too bad about, for example, Waco, not a drill. Those people all died. That was a mass murder by this government, ordered by Hillary Clinton. As we know now, Janet Reno was given the word, take him out. And there we go. All right, hold on. We'll be right back with James Fetzer in just a couple minutes as we continue talking about the great Sandy Hook hoax, one of the most outrageous things perpetrated against this country in many years. Be right back. Okay, welcome back. Talking to Jim Fetzer about the true horror of Sandy Hook, and nothing to do with students, murder, shooting, or anything. This is which is worse, the Boston Marathon bombing or Sandy Hook? Sandy Hook, clearly. The dynamics of it are so much more outrageous. This is bad. Unfortunately, at the Boston bombing, though, the older brother paid with his life. And that seems to be about the only casualty that really happened there. What do you think?
After the police had arrested him and put him naked into a police car.
Yeah, we saw that. They brought him right up to the police car. He was handcuffed. He got in the back of the cop car. And then they say, oh, no. He was in the street, and his brother, in a crazed state of fear, ran him over two or three times in an SUV. I mean, this is They murdered
him. And we have a witness saying she watched the police run him over in the SUV, which appears to have been his own car. But the point I'm making is, you know, once he's in police custody, once he's in police custody, his brother can't have run him over.
Of course not. No. But, what did he get out of police? Did he get out of police custody and escape? No. Come on, this is ridiculous.
Well, get this, Jeff. You know, I have done so much on this, which I expect to do more. But an attorney who has been a professor of law, prosecutor, and a defense attorney observed that the key issue was the backpacks, that the FBI's own investigation concluded that the two backpacks that exploded were both black nylon backpacks.
Correct.
And he makes the indictment for Zokar makes the same specification. The two backpacks that exploded were black and nylon backpacks. But we have the footage from the marathon, and neither of the brothers is wearing a black nylon backpack.
Mm-mm.
One's is kind of silver, the other gray. They're not black nylon backpacks. So he makes the obvious point that there wasn't even probable cause to arrest them, much less indict and convict. I mean, this is just outrageous.
Where does it end, Jim? Where will Sandy Hook end up? Will it fall apart to the extent that someone's going to have to admit it? Will one of the parents, obviously they've been told that if they start talking, they'll die. I mean, this is big time stakes.
Well,
human life means nothing to these people.
Yeah, there's an excellent article out there, but it's a little dated, entitled "The Missing Witnesses," written by a fellow named Tony Mead, who I've asked him to, you know, bring it up to date, which he's doing. So I'm going to add it as a new appendix to an expanded version of the book in the very near future. You know, when you first get a book out, you find there are little glitches. So I always look forward to that first corrected printing, but in this case, it's going to be an expanded one because Tony Mead actually has more than one article that I think are terrific and belong in the book.
Excellent. All right, tell me more about this Australian fellow.
Well, he's a little, you know, vague, I think deliberately and justifiably so, but I'll just tell you from dealing with him, he has a first-rate intellect. He's incredibly knowledgeable, very perceptive. He knows his way around, Jeff. I'm very impressed with this guy. And in fact, I'm going to be featuring him on the show tomorrow.
Maybe the next time you are on here in 2 weeks, you can bring him on with you.
Oh, that's a terrific idea. I'll see if he'd be up for that.
Yeah.
But he's wonderful. He's spectacular. I mean, this we have so thoroughly devastated Sandy Hook, Jeff. It's beyond, you know.
Well, they can't repair the hoax. Can't repair it. It is
thorough, detailed, and absolutely complete demolition job.
Mm-hmm.
And it not only implicates, as I was beginning to explain, you know, the so-called parents, the so-called teachers, the members of the Newtown School Board, but the Connecticut State Police, who, you know, were threatening Wolfgang that they were going to prosecute him if he kept asking questions about Sandy Hook.
That's right.
I mean, how outrageous is that?
Doesn't get any more.
And it goes right up the political chain because, you know, the Newtown clerk entered into secret negotiations with the legislature to avoid issuing death certificates. She knew that issuing a false death certificate is a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So she sought to evade them. And none of us has ever been able to get a hold of any death certificate. The only one I've ever seen is one that a fellow who calls himself Lenny Posner gave to a researcher by the name of Kelly Watt. She spent over 100 hours talking with Lenny Posner, told him she didn't believe a thing he was saying. She didn't believe Noel was dead. And if he wanted to prove his case, he should send her birth certificate, death certificate. Well, he sent her a copy of a death certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And I published an article about it, Jeff, because it's a fabrication. It's a fake death certificate. Now, if his son had died, he wouldn't need a fake death certificate. But then it goes right up the political ladder to the lieutenant governor, the attorney general, and the president of the United States. They were all in on it, Jeff. No doubt about it. Absolutely none, zero, zilch, nada. They were all in on it.
How do we break this thing to the extent that it becomes relatively common knowledge? How do we do it?
I'm doing everything I can, you know. I mean, interviews like this with you, of course, is one method. I mean, the book's up there on Amazon.com. I put out the video introduction. I put out this new video. I've got the prologue online, you know, on my jamesfetzer.blogspot.com.
Sure.
Just, if you do a search on Jim Fetzer, Sandy Hook, you're going to get a whole bunch of stuff because I'd already published 30 articles. Would you believe one of my contributors, Dr. Ewan, who's also a retired college professor, Jeff, who maintains a website called Fellowship of the Minds, she's published 80 articles on Sandy Hook.
80?
Yeah. This is the quality of the people I have here. You know, we also feature an interview that Sophia Smallstorm, who produced a marvelous documentary entitled Unraveling Sandy Hook in 2, 3, 4, and 5 Dimensions, interviewing a school safety expert in California by the name of Paul Preston, who has supervised these kinds of drills before.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And he watching it, he could tell that things were wrong. They didn't add up. That it was he had contacts in the Bush in the Obama administration, in the Department of Education, and when he contacted them, they all confirmed that it had been a drill. No one had died. It was to promote gun control.
So they've conducted drills like this at other elementary schools in the past.
Yeah, but now
they don't play them up as an actual mass murder. They just do the drill and that's it.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And look, you had Sandy Hook to instill fear into parents. You had Charleston to instill fear into blacks, and you had this college thing in Oregon to instill fear into Christians.
Yeah. What do we know about?
This is all cleverly designed to target specific groups in the community, Jeff.
Absolutely. Sure. We'll talk about Roseburg in Oregon when we come back in just a couple minutes with Jim. Hold on. Site of the latest mass, alleged mass shooting at a school. This is a college. And what do we know about that already?
Well, it's almost silly, Jeff. I mean, the people who knew they were going to be on television all put on pink shirts for breast cancer awareness so they could promote their special cause. Again, you don't have any surge of ambulances. You don't have any EMTs. You don't have any bodies. This guy's supposed to have asked these students whether or not they're Christians, and if they said yes, he shot them in the head. Well, that's so contrived. That's so phony.
Can we see one picture of a crime scene at Sandy Hook or Roseburg? No, we don't.
Nor in Charleston.
We don't even see blood.
And you know that Dylan Roof. I mean, we have Photoshop photographs of him in a jacket with two apartheid patches that were added onto his jacket. Yeah. We have video of him entering the church at 0800, which someone thought meant 8 p.m. when it means 8 a.m. If he reloaded repeatedly, the church would have been a total mess. The pews all shot up, splinters, wood, blood everywhere, Jeff.
Oh,
and yet they conducted a normal church service just 2 days later. They had a corpse laid out that was supposed to be this Pinckney guy, Clementa Pinckney, and he doesn't look like Clementa Pinckney at all. He's too dark. He's got too thick a neck. He looks like he's of Haitian extraction. Pinckney was an African American. I mean, this whole thing was just phony.
Yeah, they're all apparently the recent spate of them, folks, all part of a campaign that is designed to enslave all of us. It's really that. Cut and dried.
You know, Jeff, when it comes to phonies, I've been doing more research on Rebecca Roth, and if you would indulge me, it looks like Rebecca's methodical illusion may be Rebecca herself.
I want to tell you, that woman whoever or whatever she is, had fascinating data, and she presented it flawlessly.
Yes.
Now, there's something to be said for that. I don't want to go beyond that. That's as a journalist, as far as I'm going to go. I heard what I heard. This is now you've found out things since then that stunned me. The woman wears a wig. She wears glasses. She doesn't even look the same.
She's a blonde.
Yeah.
And she is from Langley. And when Dennis Camino, you know, verified that through her phone number, she was really ticked off about it, as though she had something to hide. Yeah. We even have what appears to be her real name, which is Monica with a K, Gaynor. She appears to be working for the CIA, which no doubt appreciate her gift for instant. She has a photographic memory, Jeff.
Obviously, she's got something going.
Yeah. And for smooth articulation.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, her role here is to reinstate the planes and the passengers. I had done so much work on this, Jeff. None of those planes crashed on 9/11. Two of them weren't even in the air. And we know that from Bureau of Transportation statistics, because flights 11, that would be the North Tower, and 77, the Pentagon, weren't even scheduled to fly that day. And then I obtained FAA registration data about the other planes, the two planes that were used for 93 Shanksville and 175, the South Tower, were not even formally taken out of service until 28 September 2005.
That's right. So the planes that actually did the work were drones, remote controlled, and
flown. They actually, Jeff, pilots for 9/11 Truth were able to study air ground communications and determine that Flight 93 was over Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, after it had allegedly crashed in Shanksville.
Right. Well, those planes that appeared to hit the buildings were not the planes that we're talking about.
They weren't planes, Jeff. They were images of planes. It was hologams projected by planes that were 1,400 feet to the side. There's brilliant research on this. I go about it. I've got this new blog about Rebecca, which is my most recent.
And where did she? Where? Excuse me, but she came on the scene like a house of fire, as they used to say, just nailing this stuff. Anything in her delivery in terms of data work for you?
Oh, yeah, she's got fascinating things to say. The problem is, Jeff, that it's within a false framework. She's resurrecting the planes. There were no planes that actually crashed on 9/11. No planes were used. She's got all four of the planes.
Well, I believe that no passengers in airplanes hit the buildings.
That's right. And she's got all four of the planes flying into this Air Force base, Westover, and that's where the phony, you know.
Yeah, well, they took the Zionists off. Most everyone else was gassed, killed, or otherwise done away with, supposedly. That's the long and short of it.
Here is Monica Rebecca's role, Jeff. They took all the data, all the research we've established that, you know, no real planes and hit all of it, and all the phone calls were fake. And they constructed a very careful narrative that was supposed to account for all of it, except... And she goes way out of her way. This Bureau of Transportation Statistics document, she dumps on them and she says it's just a marketing thing, that it doesn't have any significance, that if I were, you know, she even refers to a retired professor who doesn't know as much about airlines as she does.
Right.
And she goes about, you know, saying how he has misunderstood the role of this Bureau of Transportation Statistics as though the government did not need records of exact dates of takeoff and landing of planes in the United States. I'm telling you. She also committed a blunder because in talking about it with Dennis, who was the Navy's top electronics troubleshooter before he joined Raytheon, she told him that when they turned off the transponder, that meant it was no longer visible to radar. But that's just a blunder. I mean, that shows she doesn't have the technical competence she claims to possess.
Well, she sure absorbed a lot of data and present it very well. I mean, that is a photographic memory.
She does. She's very able in her role. And that's why it's taken me so long to sort this out, Jeff.
Understand.
I've been trying to figure out, you know, before I made it an issue. And what I've done here is I've admitted here, you know, my sources, who I consider to be impeccable, could be mistaken. So I've invited Rebecca to come on my show, and I'll arrange to have, you know, my sources and her have a conversation so she can sort it out and we can lay these questions to rest. But, you know, my expectation that she's going to do that is zero.
Too funny. No, you're not going to hear anything back. Yeah, if you're real lucky, if that's the right word, you'll get a no thank you. Let me go back to Roseburg for a minute.
Sure.
A couple of the students who were in the adjoining building, and remember, there's just a corridor, a hallway between the two, basically, said they heard nothing. They heard no gunshots. It's all right. We didn't hear anything. We didn't hear anything. Now, how can I don't know what caliber weapon he had, but you cannot miss the sound of a handgun being shot over and over again, or a rifle. It just doesn't happen. And these people were 20, 30, 40, 50 feet away, and they heard nothing.
Well, that does suggest they heard nothing because there was nothing to hear.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah,
I mean, I was
outrageous.
Watching
you. You know, the yeah. principal came out, the director of the college,
sure,
the
yeah.
president, and she was asked, were they going to change any of their safety procedures? Because they got big signs, gun-free zone. You know,
yeah.
I just say, how many out there in their audience want to put a big sign in their front yard that says gun-free zone?
That's,
so that criminals will know that if they break into your home, at least yeah. they're not going to confront any guns. And she said, oh, no, we have a wonderful ambience here. This was just an anomaly. We're going to keep things just as they are.
Yeah.
But even Ben Carson and Donald Trump have made the point that if you had some armed guards, or if the teachers were armed, or some of the students, you know, if it had been real,
they
which it
stopped
was
that.
Not,
they
could have taken
him
out.
If it were real, they would have taken him out in a minute, of course.
This gun control thing is just bananas, Jeff. It's gone far beyond reasonable limits. And Barack Obama is violating his oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution
He's
of the United
felon,
States.
Jim. He should be in prison. Absolutely in prison.
Jeff, you know, I become so... Listen, I'll tell you what I have discovered here of late, and I can't believe it took me so long to do it. Obama is a neocon. The neocons were products of Leon Strauss at the University of Chicago. Strauss taught an elitist philosophy where the elite are entitled to lie, cheat, and steal the masses to benefit themselves and their interests, their political interests. And what forced me to this is that Susan Rice, his national security advisor, mm-hmm. is a neocon.
Mm-hmm.
Samantha Power, his ambassador at the UN, is a neocon. This woman...
Valerie Jarrett.
And Nuland in the Department of State is a neocon. Ashton
Her
Carter,
real name is
Secretary
Noodleman.
Of Defense, is a neocon. The man is a neocon, Jeff.
Of course they are. Now, Vicki Nuland's real name is Noodleman. Noodleman, N-U-D-E-L-M-A-N, Noodleman. She's a Zionist.
They all are, Jeff.
This is all Zionist neocon warmongering. That's what it is.
But it's taken me until now to realize that Barack Obama himself is a neocon. I'm just stunned by that, Jeff. Yes, in the beginning, you know, when he was a candidate, I thought with this background in the law at Harvard, teaching constitutional law at Chicago.
But that was all a fake. We know
I think
that,
it was all a fake. I agree with you today. And, you know, the first thing he did, of course, was to seal all of his educational records. So here you have every young
child in the
United States wants to study the new president of the United States. I mean, he's the first black president. And he seals the records, and he did that because they show that he was the recipient of scholarships that were only available to foreign students.
I know, it's amazing. It's amazing when you think about how much these people have gotten away with because they control the media. It's amazing. Somebody's got to come forward. Somebody's got to crack at Roseburg, at Sandy Hook. Somebody's got to say, I can't live with myself anymore. I'm sick of this.
They actually have disappeared witnesses at Sandy Hook, and I'm convinced they use national security letters to threaten people who are thinking about talking.
Oh, there's
no
question.
They're doing all this surveillance.
Yeah.
They're doing the surveillance so they'll know who might be willing to talk about it, and then they'll send them a national security letter.
If any of those people tell someone that they know that they're really unhappy about this situation or somebody else in on it, it'll be heard, and they'll be dealt with, and they might be killed. They'll just be removed. They'll disappear. They're all under contract. Anyway, bad, bad, bad times. My God. Things are getting worse and worse, Jim. Just awful. Thank you, sir, for all your hard work.
Jeff.
Just amazing what you've done.
Well, I love being on with you, friend.
Well, thank you, Jim. Okay, we'll talk soon. See if you can get that Australian to come on with you next time.
I will. I'll talk.
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh.
Good night, Jim.
Bye.
Professor James Fetzer, and we owe Jim a great debt of gratitude, and Wolfgang Halbig a great debt of gratitude for the work they have done. If you look at the facts and study it honestly, you'll come away thinking the obvious, Sandy Hook was a fraud. I haven't heard enough about Roseburg yet, but if people 50 feet away couldn't hear gunshots, something's wrong. Be right back.